Hey everyone, welcome to episode 43 of the Talk on the Rocks podcast. I'm here with my co-host Jack. How's it going, buddy?
It's going good.
Going good? Yeah, we can hear you well. We had a little bit of tech problems before our feature episode here, but we're excited to finally bring you some NBA predictions. The NBA season is right around the corner. So what does that mean, Jack? Who do we have to have on the podcast for this big prediction episode?
Glenn.
Our NBA insider, Glenn McFarlane, is that who you're talking about?
That's the one.
Welcome to the show, Glenn. How's it going?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good, good, good. I really appreciate you coming on here. I know there's a Raptors game on right now, so you'll probably have one eye on the TV and one on the screen, but we appreciate you hopping on to make some predictions here.
No problem. Yeah, got them both going, but it's all good. We do what we can.
How excited are you for December 22nd?
You can say I'm looking forward to it. It's been on the radar since it was announced, so couldn't come any quicker, that's for sure.
Since the day the Raptors lost to the Celtics.
Pretty much.
Probably.
Pretty much.
Jack, you excited for the season?
Yeah, it's my favorite season currently going up here.
Yeah. The COVID bubble season is the best. Could be the best season in the NBA. You never know. A lot of teams making a lot of changes, short off season, lots of excuses, a lot of trades going on, and we're going to talk about that all today. You guys want to hop right into it?
Let's do it.
All right. So for those of you who have been loyal listeners and we're listening to our first annual, our NBA 2020 prediction podcast, thanks for sticking around. I don't know what's wrong with you, but you're still here. And obviously you enjoy our hot basketball takes. So we're going to start off like we did last year with some NBA awards. So I'll run through each of the kind of major awards in the NBA. We'll say some of the major candidates, and then we'll hear what the boys think, who they think is going to win each award. So let's start off with some new players. Let's start off with Rookie of the Year. So last year, Ja Morant won that. I did actually, in fact, select that guy to win it. So I'm one for one in this award, hoping to go two for two. In 2021, there's lots of options. I wouldn't say there's any key superstars that stick out who would win right away. But we have guys like James Wiseman, LaMelo Ball, Anthony Edwards, and a few other guys who went a little later in the draft. Let's throw it off to our insider, Glenn. Who are you taking with for the Rookie of the Year this year?
Yeah, so it's not exactly a hot take. It's actually probably a pretty boring answer, but I made my decision after I saw the stat that 9 of the last 12 have been guards.
Stat guy.
Yeah, I'm stat guy. So when I saw that, it made me think LaMelo, but also, I don't know by guards if they mean point guard or just any guard. So Anthony Edwards could be too, but I'm going to stick with that stat. That's 75% of the ones in the last 12 years. So I'd probably say LaMelo. He's going to have a big opportunity on Charlotte. It's him, Gordon Hayward, a couple other guys. So he's going to get a good chance. So I'll go with him.
I like that pick. I do think there are it's quite congested at the guard position on Charlotte. Not necessarily like a ton of talent, but a couple of young guys that they want to get the ball. So that's not who I picked, but I have a feeling that the third person in this call, co-host Jack, may have went with a similar suggestion. Am I wrong, Jack?
No, I had him written down. I now feel bad.
What's
the ruling on that?
No, I think you're allowed to go. I think you're allowed to match because you shouldn't have to change your opinion just because somebody else picked it. It's like, then you just feel bad because Glenn's going first in all these. He's the most knowledgeable. He's the insider. He doesn't get first pick and get to eliminate our pick. So I think we can do repeats. Glenn, you agree?
Oh yeah, for sure. I kind of stole yours, Jack. I should have known you were going to pick him.
Yeah, you kind of did. I'm going to take him anyway. I can't really think of anyone else. I don't think it'll be Wiseman. I don't think it'll be Anthony Edwards. I had two people written down. I had Bol Bol and Cole Anthony as sleeper picks for it. So those are my backups.
So did Bol Bol not play like enough games last year?
No.
No. Okay. That makes sense.
To my knowledge.
Okay. Your knowledge is as good as mine. So unless Glenn has something else to say, then we'll roll with it.
No, that sounds legit. And I could see it being him. I didn't know he was in contention, but that makes perfect. I could see it. apparently he's tearing it up in scrimmages.
Yeah, he looked good last year in the bubble too, if I remember correctly, a couple of good games. So I guess I'm left with the top two picks in the draft, which you would think would be pretty favorable for me, right? Because went one Edwards, two Wiseman. I'm pretty certain. And then I'm gonna go off the board though. I'm gonna go with Obi Toppin, a bit of an older, bigger player. Plays for the Knicks. The Knicks need somebody who's good. I think he's just more mature. LaMelo did look good in one preseason game against Raptors. Had a couple behind the back passes that stuck out, but I just don't see Anthony Edwards sticking out that much in his first year, or James Wiseman. Not like I've been scouting these guys my whole life. I just the gut feeling. So I'm going to go with a guy who I remember being good in March Madness, and I think he could have an immediate impact. So I'm going to go off the board with Obi Toppin, with a sick name as well.
In the odds, I saw he was pretty high up there too. Like, that could be a good pick. I think he was like third favorite last time I checked.
That's a good sign for me. You want to move on to our next award, a less glamorous award, but still it does win championships. So we do want to go into the Defensive Player of the Year award. We'll throw it off to Glenn. But first, last year, obviously Giannis won this award. Do you think he's going to repeat, or do you have somebody else? I know there's quite a few names, but for this one, I'm not going to list any off. I don't want to do any spoilers. We'll just hear what you have to say.
Yeah, I don't have him. I don't see him repeating this year. I have Rudy Gobert. He's won it before, and you know, he might have a bit of a chip on his shoulder based on how last season ended.
Well, the first
time and the second time, the starting COVID and the heartbreaker in the bubble. You know, that was a tough way to end the season. And you know, I think he's going to come back and have a good year. There's a lot of drama around him, you know, obviously after the whole COVID thing, like Donovan Mitchell was mad at him and just a lot of stuff going on. So he's a really good defender, and, you know, they're a sneaky team overall. So that's who I pick.
I like that pick. Jack, who are you thinking?
I have Joel Embiid.
Okay.
76. I think he's a guy who's always been in contention. I think with the changes in the new system, I guess, that Doc will have, I think it'll help him a lot more, hopefully. And I had him or Davis, but I think I like Joel getting the shine from it. I think he'll get it.
Yeah, that's a good pick, and I like your rationale with Doc as the coach as well. That's good rationale for sure. I'm going to go with another repeat pick. I think it's going to be Rudy Gobert as well, Glenn. Not like you can't pick Defensive Player of the Year two in a row, but I don't want to pick the same guys last year. I just don't like those odds. So I think one of the next best, as you said, Jack, either Davis. I had Bam on there as well as an option, but I decided to go with I'm almost tempted to switch right now to Bam just so we're all different. But no, I'm going to stick with my gut and go with Rudy. I didn't even think about all the COVID situation. It seems like years ago that happened, but that's a good point, Glenn. He's probably going to have to be playing pretty hard on the defensive end because his players already aren't going to be loving him. So he's got to play extra hard and get some blocks and some hustle plays. So I'm going to go with Rudy Gobert as well for my Defensive Player of the Year selection.
I think it's got a good chance. I don't know if the COVID thing has anything to do with it, but seems like a good option.
It seems like
a good reason.
We're talking about that more than like his actual skill. Like his,
I know. Like, yeah, he's like won it twice before.
Yeah. All right. That was a good pick. So I also like Embiid. I didn't have him in my top four, but as soon as you said it, I was like, that has potential, especially if he gets in some good shape over quarantine. I mean, I haven't seen any workout videos from him or anything, but that's a solid pick as well. And I like staying in the East because there are quite a few hard players to guard in the West. Although the East has gotten stronger, I still think the West is a harder league to defend. I want to move on to the next award. That is the Sixth Man of the Year. Last year, Montrezl Harrell won the award. He was the sixth man for the Clippers. I know up there last year, there was also Lou Williams, his former teammate. Trez is now on the Lakers. So really, there could be a lot of changes here with the Sixth Man award. I have a lot of random guys up there, like guys who maybe shouldn't even be close to the board, but just pop out to me. So I think maybe we could stick on this topic for a little longer and it could take us into some deeper conversations. But first, let's hear from our insider, Glenn. Who are you taking for the Sixth Man of the Year?
Yeah, I don't know if this is a terrible pick or not, but I'm going with it. I'm kind of thinking Tyler Hero. You know, he had an unreal time in the bubble. All signs point to him. Yeah, like all signs point to him coming off the bench again. I don't think he's ready to start down there.
Duncan's pretty good in that two guard position too.
Yeah. So I think he'll be a bench guy for sure. And if he can build off what he did in the bubble, I think he's a real contender for it for sure.
Yep, for sure. He's also got his own Jack Harlow song, so his life is really popping off, especially if Glenn picks him as Sixth Man of the Year. We'll go for our other options at the end. We won't spoil it. We'll let Jack go with his selection first.
Yeah, I got Montrez repeating.
Okay.
I think he's coming off for Davis. I think that's a solid scenario. Like, I can't see him starting, especially when with Davis in the lineup already. So he's definitely coming off the bench. I think he'll be leaned on heavily for the second unit when LeBron needs rest. Finally, can't play all 38, but I think it's, I have another pick that I wanted to go with, but I think it'll be Montrez.
So you're not worried about too many centers being on the team there? I know they picked up Gasol as well, so that's, and sometimes Davis plays the five in the smaller league. That's not a worry for you? I know the Lakers are your boys,
no,
and we'll probably have to talk about them later. But
no, because they got rid of two of their other centers, so I don't think it's going to be a logjam or anything. I think you'll find time.
I respect it too, because it's regular season too, right? It's not playoffs, so I could see Marky Mark only playing 5-10 minutes some nights to rest up.
I don't see Marky Mark being a big part of that rotation.
He'll just play if the Sixers get to the finals. So he can guard Embiid. That's like his pure usage of the side. No, I think he can still play, and Skinny Mark can play probably for the rest of his life if he wanted to, I think. But definitely limited minutes. I agree, Glenn. Let's go with mine here. I'm hoping this guy comes off the bench again. It's kind of tough to read what defines a sixth man. But I'm going to go with an Atlanta Hawk for this pick. Not necessarily a popular selection of team, but I'm going to go with Danilo Gallinari. I think he's going to be coming off the bench. I don't think he's going to be starting, but I think he's like an extremely good player off the bench. Like, I think he is a starter in the league. And whenever you can get like a starter in the league or a player that should be starting but isn't, I think that's like a popular selection. For example, Lou Williams, like he could start on any team. He just doesn't. So I'm going to go with him. I think he's going to put up big numbers coming off the bench. He's a vet, but I don't think he's going to start because they've got too many big men. Like, they've got Capella, they've got John Collins. So my kind of off the board pick is going to be Danilo Gallinari. Not sure if that's going to be a popular selection, but that's who I'm going with. I love him. He's done well for me in fantasy a couple of years, so got to give him some love on the podcast.
Wow. That's a hot take. I did not see that coming, but it makes sense. I mean, he's got a good fit there in Atlanta, but
You don't have to stroke me though, Glenn. We're not on. It's not Nash. Like, you're not on TSN.
That's a long shot.
You're not on Sportsnet.
I was saying it makes sense. It makes sense, like, where you're coming from, but the odds of it happening are like, I personally don't think that's gonna happen. But I mean, I can see your rationale. That's all I'm trying to say.
All right. Who else did you guys have up there?
Lou Williams, just because he's always in the conversation. But he's getting older, and I don't know. Like, I feel like with Trez gone, it kind of frees up the spot for him to be this, like, the scorer off the bench. Like, he had to share that last year with Trez. So obviously he's on the list. I think
that's almost just too much of a tap in. You know what I mean? Like, when you're making a six man prediction, I'm like, I just didn't want to say Lou Will because they don't have a. I can get into this a bit later, but they don't have like the best bench ever, I wouldn't say. So I think that's a really, yeah. Like, it's a deep bench in comparison to the other top teams, but it doesn't stick out at me. I'm like, holy shit, they have like five guys deep that are going to get a ton of points.
Oh yeah. He's the guy like off the bench. Like, there's no one else that comes close anymore with Trez gone off the bench, because Ibaka is obviously going to start, right?
Off
the bench here, but I would think he's going to start there.
They might go matchups. Like,
Yeah, maybe
Zubac or Ibaka, like similar to what Gasol and Ibaka was during their prime, just depending on who was who they're playing. That's just me talking about my ass, but that's what I could see happening.
I've heard Zubac. I know that his fantasy value has gone way down because one thinks he's going to be playing very big a role this year. So I would assume Ibaka is going to get it most nights based on how they're talking.
Well, he's proven, right? He did. Not like he started during the Raptors championship run, but he definitely played more overall minutes than Gasol did.
This is off topic, but he signed for way less than I thought he would sign somewhere. He just came off a career year, and didn't he sign for like not much more than we signed for Baynes, right? Like, wasn't it 2 year, 20 million or something like that? Or maybe it's 20 million a year. Either way,
it was pretty close.
It was way less than I thought.
Yeah, but I think
that's off topic.
No, I know. I know we talked about it last time you were on too. We definitely were pretty jealous that he didn't come to the Raptors, that's for sure. So I agree. It is pretty frustrating when you see a guy that you want in your lineup and you've seen in your lineup for a long time and he just goes and signs. Like, I think his like average value is 9.2 is what I'm seeing on this reputable spot track salary website that we'll be using for the rest of the night. So yeah, that's a cheap player, especially if he's a starter on a almost championship team, possible championship team.
He must have wanted more than a year, and the Raptors were only going to give him a year. That's my only guess.
He
wanted some security, but he only got two. It's only an extra year.
He must have really wanted to win, though, because I feel like the Kawhi effect, like Kawhi probably just was like, what it do, baby? And he's like, fuck, I'll sign for $9 million. Like, he doesn't need the money. He can get money through so many other revenue streams that it's like, might as well have
especially
a shot
in
at
LA. Especially being in LA, you think his brand's going to take off or what?
I hope so. Once things get back to normal, he's going to be going wild. He'll be having like celebrities on How Hungry Are You? Like, it won't just be like Van Vliet and Norm anyway. Yeah, the fashion is a big thing. Excited for him. He's just like a forever Raptor. Everyone likes him. Well, I hated him at the beginning. I thought he was literally the worst player the Raptors could have ever picked up when he just settled for like those threes or those mid-range jumpers, but he just completely turned it around. And like, am I wrong in saying that when he first signed, it's like time Ibaka touched the ball, you were like, fuck, this is not going to go well.
My mom couldn't stand
I don't remember him. Loving him off the bat.
My mom couldn't
I'm very biased between the last year.
I feel like he was quieter as well at the beginning. I could be wrong in saying, but it seemed like we didn't know him. And once you got to know his personality, it's like, he's a hard guy not to like. So I think that kind of played a factor as well, even if he missed a couple of those jumpers. Like, he found his spot at the edge of the square, and like, he was hardly missing those during his – when he was going, that shot was going down every time, and he knew if he got in that spot, which he often did, he wasn't going to miss the jumper.
And I think it was hard for people to see Terrence Ross go because he was, like, fairly young at the time, and he had a lot of, like, potential to take off to the next step. And he had been here for quite some time too, so I think people were – really comparing him to Terrence Ross. And off the bat, Orlando probably was winning that trade. But then, as you said, he picked it up later. And I think we definitely got the better deal for
Terrence
trade.
Because
Terrence, he's not really
– he's a good player. Like,
he's a role player.
He'd go
he's
off
a norm.
Once in a while. Yeah.
He's a norm.
But would you think that would be different if he stayed in the Raptors franchise?
No.
You don't think if he stayed with the Raptors it would have been any different?
I think – Norman would be gone. They're the same player.
I mean for Terrence himself. Like, do you not think he would have developed a bit better if he was
with
the Raptors,
like,
rather than Orlando?
All I'm saying is I think it would be he'd be a similar player, but we wouldn't have Norm. So he would be the same kind of player he is now, but we wouldn't have room for him and Norm. I don't think he'd be a star.
Think he would have been any better.
No.
All right, I've got a couple
that
other
was kind of always the rap on him. He was always inconsistent.
Yeah, I
think that really would have changed.
No.
All right, I'm going to list off a couple other names, and maybe you guys
I had one.
Okay, yeah, go for it, Jay.
I had Dennis Schroeder, or Schroeder.
Yeah, that was number two on my list, probably.
That's probably pretty high, yeah.
But, like, is he going to start? I guess not.
That's what
because
I didn't
LeBron
know.
Just runs the point. Is that what the thing is? Like,
yeah.
How does that work? Because they don't have that many good
I think
guards.
I think it'll be a similar tandem to what Montrez and Lou will be.
Yeah.
I think they'll kind of run it like that. I think some nights they will start, obviously. Some nights they won't. Most times they'll be coming off the second bench or off the bench, though. So I think that'll give. That's why I could see it being either Montrez or Dennis.
I like that player because he is he's so good, but he's not really talked about. Like, I remember when he's even on Atlanta, he would just go off sometimes. But, like, when you're on Atlanta, you don't get that much play. But I think now that he's on the Lakers, we'll start to kind of see what he really has. And he has, I guess this is kind of his first real shot at a championship. Am I wrong in saying that? I don't think
so. Who knows if they beat Houston last year, man. Who knows?
Yeah, very true. Very true.
No, this definitely is his best shot, though.
A couple other names. Obviously, I had Lou Will on my list. Four others that stuck out. Spencer Dinwiddie, Norm Powell, Marcus Smart, and Jordan Clarkson. Any yays or any definite nays on that list?
I think Clarkson's a nay. I like Dinwiddie a lot.
Because he'll have to come off the bench. Well, I guess he could play the two, but you'd like to think if LeVert is still on the team, he'll be playing that position. So I really like him. He's a good player too. Like, he was so good, especially when like deloading was on the team and they were hurt. He was such a good player.
Yeah, that's a good pick. He had a couple, like, he had a bit of a run. Was it last year where he was just going off? Like, everyone was hurt.
Him and LeVert were going crazy.
Yeah, that's a good pick. LeVert's definitely going to start, right? Because if he came off the bench, I'd say he's got a good shot.
Yeah, very true.
I would assume they would go Kyrie and LeVert. And then
he's got a bit more
size. I think they'll do the two guard kind of thing.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, you want to move on to Coach of the Year?
Yeah, let's do it.
So last year, Glenn, who won Coach of the Year?
My boy, Nick Nurse.
That's right. Big Dick Nick won Coach of the Year in 2020. Two Coach of the Years within, what, 3 years for the Raptors? 3-4 years?
Yeah. Who won it between Dwayne Casey and Nick Nurse? It was...
Was it Budenholzer?
Budenholzer. It was Budenholzer, yeah.
Yeah. So I think Budenholzer has a chance to win it again this year. Other guys up there, Frank Vogel, Brad Stevens. Anyone? And Glenn, let's go to you first. Who do you think is going to win it this year? I may have just spoiled it, but those guys are just tap-ins and obvious names, so I think it's okay that I kind of let them loose there.
I have a couple on here. Do you want me to name the ones I was mulling over or just say the one that I went with?
Let's do your for sure.
And then we'll
mull all over them at the end.
I was having a really tough time choosing between three guys. You mentioned one of them. Brad Stevens. He's been such a good coach for so long.
I guess we'll just mull over them actually first, unlike what we just Jack and I just said.
No, I just said it because you already said him. You already said him. But who I ended up going with, Quinn Snyder out in Utah.
Okay.
I think he's been a really good coach for a really long time, and Utah's progressively gotten better. And I think they got robbed so bad last year that they're gonna have a really good season. And I think he's finally going to get some of that recognition for it. He's done a really good job out there, and I just really like him. And it's half I think he's going to, half I want him to.
That's like a Danilo Gallinari pick, I would say. I don't know if Jack agrees, but I do like that pick because a couple years ago, he was up for contention as well. I can't remember what year it was, but I know he was – was he a top three finalist even?
But I think it was that big year when they finished third.
Yeah, because they don't have big names there. I mean, obviously, Donovan Mitchell now is a big name. He's got, like, Connolly. Right, he's got, like, Rudy's, I know, but they're
big.
But they're not, like, superstars. I wouldn't say anyone on that team is a superstar yet.
They're the new Pacers, it seems.
Yeah, that's a good comparison. Yeah. Good comparison for sure.
I like
that pick, though, Glenn. I like when it's not just one of the tap-ins and you kind of go off the board. That's a nice selection. Jay, who are you thinking?
I don't know if this is a tap-in. This is kind of based off my standing predictions. I got Rick Carlisle for Dallas.
Wow, I like that pick.
I think I like the Mavs. I like what they're gonna. I think if my predictions hold true, I think they'll have a good year, and I think it'll mean a lot of recognition for Mr. Rick.
I'm going to hop in here too, because that is actually my prediction for Coach of the Year as well. I thought that was going to be off the board and not selected. So you kind of, we stole each other's thunder here, but yeah, I as well, not to spoil it, but I do like the Mavs this year. So I went with Rick Carlisle as well. And I'm kind of scared now, Jack, that some of our predictions might
align. What
do you
think the next two will be?
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see how this goes. But I'm not changing any of my answers. But yeah, Rick Carlisle. It's tough for me.
I'm just glad I'm the one going first before you then.
I don't want to talk about it too much about the teams, but I look at their roster and I'm not sold. But something about me is just like anyways, let's save it for the standing predictions. I don't want to get into it too much, but this isn't my most confident selection. But yeah, I'm gonna go with Rick Carlisle as well. Anyone else? Who else were you mulling over, Glenn?
I had a couple here. It was, as I said, it was between Brad Stevens. He's like the favorite, but he's a really good coach and he hasn't won it yet, so he's due for one. I was also thinking Steve Nash, just because like a lot of times it does go along with how good the team is. And
like a Nick Nurse pick almost.
It's like a Nick Nurse pick or a Steve Kerr.
Or Steve Kerr.
So plus he's like a genius. Like Steve Nash has a really smart mind for basketball, obviously. But
all sports,
I could,
like soccer too.
Yeah. I could see that. I could see that happening. And one other person who's on my list, but I didn't really spend too much time on it, but I wouldn't be totally shocked. Lloyd Pierce for the Hawks. I could see him. I could see him maybe being a bit of,
I think that's a great selection. Like I honestly, you said that name and I had to wait for you to say what team he was on, cause I don't even recognize the name, which kind of shows my knowledge of basketball, I guess, but I really like the Hawks this year.
Hawks,
and they did poorly. So teams that kind of vault in the standings, I think that's like a potential for at least being top three for the selections. But yeah, is he the coach that has he been there for a while? I don't even know, to be honest.
I think he's fairly new. I had to honestly like look him up to remember what he looked like.
I think
I'm
know.
Like, I've seen him on the sidelines for a while.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm not sure if it was an assistant somewhere, if he's been the head coach there, because I've recognized his face like for several years, but I don't know if it was always a head coach role. But I want to say he's fairly new down there.
He's since 2018, so yeah, he has been around for a couple seasons, not too long.
Did he replace Bud?
I would assume so. But when did Bud win? Didn't he win in? Did he win in 2018? I guess. When he won Coach of the Year with the Bucks,
yeah,
so that would make sense.
First year with the Bucks,
yeah, that makes sense. That comes together for sure.
So, yeah, I could see them being like I see that kind of being like a Billy Donovan type of deal, where like he,
yeah,
coached the Thunder above expectations and was in the conversation, but not good enough to win. I think he'll be in the conversation, but not win.
I agree. Jack, you have anyone else you want to mention, or are you good for coaches?
Yeah, no, I had Mike Malone as my second choice for the Nuggets.
I like that pick.
And then I had Ty Lue for the Clippers.
Yeah. If they have a bit of a I don't want to even say it, but like a bounce back year, kind of underwhelming year last year, so I could see that as well.
I could see if they finish top three, I could see.
I almost want to change my pick now.
Feel free.
Yeah, I think I can't change my pick. I can't go back. But Doc just seems so juicy to me as well. You said it earlier. You said it earlier, Glenn. And that – or maybe it was – sorry, it was you, Jack. And that sticks out to me now. I almost like that better. But I'm not going back on Rick Kyle. I
had Doc on my list too, but I was I like – as the only guy on this call right now that likes Dallas –
Alright, I'm gonna lock in Doc. I'm changing my answer because we can't have all of our picks the same, Jack. I told myself I never do it, but you get on here, you have a glass of wine on the rocks, and I'm gonna lock in Doc because I want to change things
up. He's gonna be so happy to hear that.
What's that?
He's gonna be so happy to hear that.
Oh God. I'll be so happy when
Carlisle
wins. Ah, it's okay. Yeah. This isn't for money, it's just pride and fame, so it's okay. We want to move on to our next award. This is a fun award as well, and we could get talking for a bit as well. We have our most improved player. Last year won by Brandon Ingram. He had a huge season with the Pelicans. Very very obvious pick. Well, not obvious, but he had such a good season that he was well deserving of the MIP award. Glenn, who are you looking at as your top pick for this award in 2021?
Yeah, so this is another one where it's half hope because I really like him and half I think he's actually gonna. I got Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Fuck yourself.
I like that pick. I like that pick.
He's Me got too. A huge opportunity this year. Hey, great minds think alike. He's got a huge opportunity this year. He's going to be like the guy on one of the worst teams in the West. So if he can pull it up from last, and I'm not saying last, but like down in the bottom of the West to like somewhat in the middle all by himself, that's got to be consideration for it right there. He's looked so good last year, learned from Chris Paul. It's his team now, right? He's going to be the leader when all those picks finally get chosen, right, that OKC has. So I'm saying Shai. I think it's going to be a really good year for him. And I think in fantasy value, he's a steal. That's for sure. He's going to be a definite sleeper.
That's a great pick, Jack. Or sorry, I know, Jack, you're taking as well. That's a great pick, Glenn. 19 points last year, 6 rebounds, 3 assists. That's could easily get upwards of 30 because he has no one else playing with him, really. I really like that pick. I had it on my board as well. So that's a good one. Jack, anything to add on that one? Was that your selection? Are you going to keep it or change it up?
That was my selection. I thought I was going to come up here gloating about this unknown superstar that nobody else knows about.
Sorry.
I want it. Okay, I'm going to change it to – I'm going to take Glenn's earlier pick of Tyler Hero.
Okay. That's a good pick as well.
I'm taking Tyler, MIP.
I like that. That leaves me, again, maybe going off the board here. This is homegrown talent. I'm not sure if this makes you guys who this makes you think of. Homegrown talent on a team who struggled last year really doesn't narrow it down. There's two guys that you could pick from.
I think I know who you're picking.
Who are you guys thinking?
That's a good pick.
I was thinking you're thinking Wiggins. RJ.
Who are you thinking, Jack? Oh,
Wiggins.
You know what? Both of those guys were on my board. I ended up going with RJ Barrett though. I think he's gonna, the stats weren't great last year. I think just from what the team has said, they're building around him. He's their key, like second overall pick. I think he's gonna have a big season and I like guys who don't have incredible, like great stat lines because there's so much more room for improvement. Like I know when I think Pascal beat D'Angelo Russell, right? That one year when Pascal won. And I think a lot of it was because Pascal had a shittier season before and his stats look so much better. I mean, obviously he progressed a ton on the court as well, but I think the stats have a big play in that award because it's so hard to kind of measure it another way. So I like RJ because didn't have the greatest season ever last year as a rookie. And I think he has lots of room to improve. I have Wiggins as well up there on my board.
I kind of want to take Wiggins now.
Wiggins?
I never thought about that till now.
Hey, if you want to change it up, feel free to lock it in.
What did he do last year? I don't have any info on me.
I think he was close to 20 points per game, which really surprised me. Like I didn't know he got that many points. Season. So that's what swayed me away from him.
That's what he's been known to do though. And it's always on like 39% shooting.
Yeah, he was 19.
It takes a lot.
It's kind of sad. Like last 3 years, he's had flirted around the 20-point range. Like you're saying, the free throw percentage or the field goal percentage may not be where he wants it to be, but still, that's a lot of points. And for me, that's hard to kind of eclipse that by too much. Like if Steph's on your team, are you going to be able to put up 30 points regularly? Not like his skill level can maybe do it anyways. Well, I see a Bruin there. What are you thinking, Glenn?
I was just thinking it seems like most people who get most improved, at least lately, seem to be a little earlier career. I don't have anything in front of me to back that up, but I feel like Wiggins has been in the league for so long and he's had like several years to gradually improve. And I feel like to improve enough over the course of one season to win the award, this late in his career when he's already, as you said, almost averaging 20 points a game is, I have trouble seeing it, but never know.
I like that. All right, Jack, who are you locking in then?
No, I'm going to stick with Tyler. I think that's a solid pick, actually.
Yeah, that's a good pick.
Not to gloat.
I'm going to go through a couple guys I have. We'll give you, Glenn, you get a chance to give it a yay or nay, and then we'll give Jay a chance after. What do you guys, I don't know if this one qualifies. What do you think about John Wall? Does he qualify for a Most Improved Player Award, or does that not count?
No.
I don't think that should count, no. He's been an all-star. Like, just because you get injured doesn't mean you've improved. It just means you've gotten back to full form.
It's more of, like, comeback player, not most improved.
Yeah.
What about Lonzo? I would
be lenient if it was, like, Boogie, but...
Yeah, that's more in range, I would say. What about Lonzo Ball? Yeah. Yay or nay?
Love it.
Yeah.
Don't spoil my MVP pick.
What about Markelle Fultz?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah,
that's a really good one.
That was up there for me, and debatably sounds more appetizing than my answer that I guessed, but I thought that was a pretty popular one. I thought that was maybe a top three that people would select, but by Glenn's reaction, I'm thinking maybe it wasn't.
No, he wasn't even on my radar, really. He should have been. Like, number one pick, never lived up to expectations, traded, and now it's like stars have aligned for him to have, you know, a pretty good season down in Orlando. So, yeah, that's a really good one. He wasn't even on my list, but I could see it.
A couple other obvious guys who are more skilled players, like have a better stat line. I had Jamal Murray and Jaylen Brown on my list. I kind of went away from them just because of how many points they'd scored in previous years, but I just think they're, like, you just saw how exponentially better Jamal even got in the playoffs. So I think he can improve on his stat line as well. Jaylen, with Hayward gone, I think he might have an expanded role this year, and he looked really, really good in the playoffs. So that was another guy. I definitely wouldn't pick those two guys, but I think they are good options and could be up there for the MIP award. Any thoughts on those two?
I like Jaylen. I like that pick because that's a good point with Gordon Hayward gone. With Jamal Murray, I don't see it. I think he's, like, already understood to be, like, one of the better point guards in the league. So I think, like, the improvement that we're gonna see is, like, from the Jamal Murray that he was to maybe an all-star, but I don't think that leap is enough to be most improved because he was already, like, so highly regarded that I feel like you need someone who's, like, known but kind of not. Like Pascal, before he got MIP, he was probably known around the league maybe, but he wasn't ever in the conversation of, like, maybe he's an all-star, right? Whereas Jamal Murray last year could have been an all-star. So it's hard to give him MIP when it's going from, like, you know, good to great. Whereas if you go from average to good or great, then you have a better shot. I don't know if that made any sense, but that's kind of my feeling on it.
No, I know that. And that's kind of what I've been saying with the stat line so far. You don't want to pick somebody who's been decent and just gets into a really good player. But I would argue, like, my deloading example as well, I feel like he was pretty good before. I could be wrong. My memory could be mistaking me. He was a pretty decent player before, no? But he didn't win, though. That's the thing. Like, that's why Pascal won. So it kind of goes with what you're saying, but just something that popped into my mind.
I feel like he was kind of a Kuzma, like, type of player. He was kind of like Kuz and then got his own team in Brooklyn for a while there and then became the guy. So I feel like he was good, but he wasn't, like, D'Lo wasn't great before that season. Like, he really took off that season in Brooklyn.
Okay. Let's keep it rolling here. We don't want to be on the awards too long. Let's go to the most important award, the most valuable player won by Giannis last year. Glenn, who is your 2021 most valuable player?
2021 MVP, and I apologize if I take someone's answer. Luka Doncic.
Fuck off, man.
Are you kidding? Come on.
I mean, I have Luka as well, Jack.
I'm the Dallas guy.
Really? I like,
since when have you been a Dallas guy? Since 5 minutes ago?
I'm a Dallas guy, man.
Since he picked Rick Carlisle as coach of the year.
That's when he became a Dallas guy.
No, it's funny, Glenn, because I was kind of thinking, like, it's actually amazing that we all pick Luka. I don't know if it's, like, subconsciously we want to pick somebody that's kind of off the board. I guess he's kind of a consensus top three, though. Like, you look at it, I see LeBron, Davis, Giannis, and Lillard are my guys. Lillard was number two for me. I mean, I'm going away from Luka Doncic. And you guys all picked. No, I don't think his he just has such a full stat line. I can't change this pick. I gotta go with him as my MVP as well.
It's gotta be like, well, not gotta be, but he looked so good in the bubble, and he's just been getting so much better every year. He's got his team now. Obviously, he's got like Kristaps to share with, but I think like it's just a perfect storm for him to get MVP. You know, those other guys that you named are also on my list, obviously, but like in fantasy this year, in the last time I saw the rankings, Luka was ranked number two. So I know that they
is that ranked... why you picked him?
No, I picked this before I even saw the rankings actually, but and I think the fantasy rankings go by fan points, obviously. So like who's going to do best for your team, not necessarily who's the MVP, but I think that also speaks volumes. It shows that they think he's also going to have stat lines that are completely stuffed too. He was only behind James Harden just because he puts up numbers in fantasy.
Yeah. A little uncertainty around him, but we'll get to that. Well, I know we didn't talk about the MVP that long, but we all had the same selection. So do you want to just move on to our biggest stories of the season section?
Works for me.
Why don't we start off with probably one of the biggest stories, at least of this early season, is James Harden. He has a home now. He's in Houston. But is he going to stay there very long? What do you guys think? Do you think Harden will be traded before the season starts? Do you think he'll be traded before the season ends? Do you think he'll be traded at all?
Is this for me?
Anyone who wants to tackle it, but you can give us the start, Glenn.
You go first, Luker. I've been stealing all your answers.
Thanks, man. If we're not talking Dallas, I don't want to talk.
Maybe he gets traded.
I don't think he could. Yeah, I'm a big Dallas guy. I don't think he gets traded at all. I don't think I don't think he's going to get traded before the season or during the season at all. Maybe next season. But I think for this one, I think they're going to try it. I don't think they would have made the wall trade if they weren't confident they could at least get Harden to play. So I just don't – I can't see it happening yet. And I don't think Brooklyn is going to – I don't think any other team are going to give up what they're asking for.
I don't know if I agree with you on the wall rationale. Like, I think the only reason they traded for Wall is because that's the only way they could get rid of Westbrook, like taking on like a massive contract like that. That's how I see it. Like trading.
But they're both massive contracts. It's not like they're both signed to pretty bad ones. I think they wouldn't have done all this if they couldn't get the guy.
Yeah, obviously they still want to stay relevant, and not even just for that, but like just to get another free agent if Harden leaves. So accumulate a bit of talent for Harden and then either sign someone or use the assets you get in Harden to pick up a bigger name. That's how I kind of see it. What do you think, Glenn?
I don't know. I think overall it's a super complicated situation. Like, it's really tough to predict because things are changing so quickly. Before today, I would have said he's definitely out. He's definitely getting traded because I had heard, you know, he has no interest to play with John Wall. He has no interest to stay in Houston at all. Like, the report actually said that he's not excited about the trade and he has no interest of like trying that out. So I was thinking, okay, he's definitely gone. But then I see that he's scheduled to play in their preseason game tomorrow. So
yep.
That kind of changed my mind a little bit. I still think he's going to get traded because he clearly would rather be out, and that's never a good recipe for success. Like, to have your star, like, everyone knows that he wants out. It just doesn't tend to work. But at the same time, I feel like Houston's asking so much. Like, in terms of a Philly trade, they've said that they need at least Simmons or Embiid, and Philly doesn't want to do that. And for Brooklyn, they said they want either Kyrie or KD. They're not going to do that. So I don't know if any team's going to bite or if it's I honestly think they're just going to wait it out. Other teams are going to wait it out until James Harden forces his way out. And then that way Houston's going to get less because everyone knows that, you know, you need to get rid of this guy. So why would I give you a star? So it's really hard to say. If I had to pick one, I think he is going to get traded, but it's really complicated. So I don't know.
All right. I think I personally came up with a couple trades. I'm not talking like salary cap, not talking about knowing that much about each team's draft pick, just for sake of kind of being one of those articles you see on Facebook that's like rumor mill, this trade is going to happen, blah, blah, blah. I made up a couple of those myself based on team needs and based on players who may be on the wire. I was thinking maybe I could run a couple of these trades by you guys and you give me a yay or nay and your thoughts on the trade. What do you think about that?
Sounds good.
All right. Yay. So the first trade that I was thinking was the Trailblazers trade Nasir Little, Zach Collins, and a first to the Cavaliers for Kevin Love. Who wins that trade? Is that feasible? What do you think?
Say who the Blazers trade one more time for me.
They trade a couple younger guys. They give like a Nasir Little, a first-round pick, a Zach Collins, okay, Servable power forward, and maybe a first-round pick. Don't look at it too much into the picks, into the players, the prospects. Just kind of think about like a Kevin Love on the Pacers, because I think that's what they kind of...
On the Blazers.
Sorry, the Blazers. I think that's kind of what the team lacks from going to the next level. They have... I know they have Harry Giles as their power forward right now. They also have Melo who could play the four. But I think they really do need a serviceable player and kind of that third head in their monster. And I think Kevin Love, you saw him do that in Cleveland. I think he still has the ability to put the ball in the net. So I think that's a perfect Trailblazers trade for me.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of the trade the Raptors made a couple years ago for Marc Gasol. It's kind of like that last piece to the puzzle. I could see it working, but I still don't think it would be enough for the Blazers to get out of the West. If they were over in the East, that would probably be something they would benefit from more. I think the Blazers have improved since last year either way, but
agreed.
Yeah, I think that's a decent trade for sure, but I don't think it would be enough to put them over the edge.
Jack, any input on that one?
Yeah, I like it for them because it gives them a shot, at least. I don't think it's enough. And then for the Cavs, I don't think that's probably what they want either. I don't know how many... they have too many guards there now, it seems. I like it, though, for Portland, though, because they got to do something. I'd rather they go in and get Love than not get Love and just be like, oh, we wouldn't win with them anyway. But you got to give yourself a shot, at least. So I do like it for that reason.
Oh, they got to do something or Dame's out of there, right? He's not going to stay there his whole career if they don't ever put the chips in the middle of the table, right?
Yeah, I agree. Talking about another guy who's kind of been around on a team, let's move on to our next trade. The Orlando Magic trade Nikola Vucevic to the Bucks for Dante DiVincenzo, DJ Wilson, Pat Connaughton, and a lot more. So this is either a mixture of a lot of picks, a couple firsts, a couple seconds. I'm not going to get into the details, but just that Vucevic going to the Bucks for pretty much any prospects they have left and some picks.
They would need a lot of picks for that because Vucevic is their future, right? But I could see it because I don't think – this is a bit of a spoiler for later. I don't think the Magic are getting a playoff spot this year. So they may need to take a step back and say, is our centerpiece the centerpiece that's going to win us anything? And if they decide no, then that would make sense to load up the picks and pull an OKC and then give their star player to a contender in the East. So I could see it, but I think the Magic would have to underperform this season for it to happen.
And it's tough because I think the Bucks probably gave up a lot of their picks already, right, through the different trades they've made. So it might be logistically tough, but I'm just looking at the player itself and the fit, and it just seems pretty perfect to me. I mean,
yeah, they'd be really screwing like 5 years down the road. They'd be really going all in for Giannis to sign. So if he doesn't before the 22nd or before the 22nd, then if I were the Bucks, I'd need a sure sign from him that if I make this trade, you're going to stick around. Because if I go and make this trade, we don't win, and then you dip, now we're screwed for the next decade. So I'd be really hesitant to make that kind of a trade if I were the Bucks, unless I have confidence Giannis will stay because of it.
But have they kind of not already done that with the trades they've made, like the Jrue Holiday trade, all these trades giving up kind of their picks and their future?
Yes and no. The Jrue Holiday one screws them for a couple years if he leaves. But to get Vucevic, another star player, he's an all-star. He's Orlando's centerpiece. They're going to have to give up at least two or three firsts, which is going to take them down past, you know, probably 2026, 2027. So okay, That's a lot to ask for someone who might leave.
It is a tough trade, right? Like, it's tough logistically, but just the thought of Vucevic on that team is just nice to think about, nice to talk about.
It'd be deadly. It would be really good. Giannis would be dumb to leave if they could afford to keep Giannis, Vucevic, and Jrue Holiday. But, like, as you said, logistically, if Giannis signed the Supermax, they don't have the money for Vucevic. He wouldn't be sticking around because he could get double somewhere else.
Yep. Yeah. All right, let's move on to another one here. Pacers trade Miles Turner to the Thunder for Al Horford and a couple picks. So this is one where it just seems like something about Miles Turner and the Pacers, he's always in trade rumors. They have Sabonis, who plays a similar position. Just seems like he's always on the block. The Thunder have so many picks. You can only draft so many players. You have to have actual older talent on your team. So why not get a fairly young center in there to play for you now alongside, say, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, like you said earlier, as your pick, Glenn? What do you think about that one?
Yeah, I mean, wait, you said it was Horford for... Wait, so Horford for Turner. So Horford would be going to... You're saying the Pacers?
Yeah.
And then Turner to OKC.
And then picks. Yeah.
And then picks following Horford.
Sorry, I wasn't really listening. I thought Jack was going to take this one since I took the last one. I would keep Miles Turner. Like, I wouldn't be trading away Miles Turner for Al Horford, personally. I think Al Horford's getting towards the end, and that's strictly based off fantasy, like what I saw from him in fantasy last year. His production went way down over the last couple seasons in terms of fantasy stats, so I wouldn't have too much appetite to be taking on Horford, and I think Miles Turner is a fairly big part of Indiana's future, especially if Victor Oladipo wants out. I know there were reports of that over the fall, but if he does leave, Miles Turner is going to be a big part of that team. So I don't think there'd be a lot of appetite to make that happen, but I may be wrong.
Jack, any input on that one?
Yeah, I'm not too crazy. I like it for OKC, obviously. I think Horford's still solid. I think he's just in a bad fit with the 76ers. I think he'd be better in OKC, playing with OKC. I don't think it's a better fit for him and the Pacers. I think it's kind of a similar scenario with the 76ers right now. I think that Sabonis is already the big guy there. I think Horford just would get a downplayed role. So I don't know really. I think it would be better if the Pacers kept Turner as well.
Yeah, I guess the way I was kind of looking at it is the Pacers have two young players who play a very similar position. They want to clear up one of those guys so they get a bunch of picks so they can draft a guy in the future, and they invest in Sabonis and Oladipo as well as Brogdon, who are three guys with decently sized contracts. So you're getting I understand Horford has a big contract as well that they'll have to absorb, but just kind of looking forward, and then they also get those picks to kind of refresh a different position. But I think we talked on that one a bit more. Let's do a couple more quick ones, and then we'll move on to the feature of the show, which is our standings predictions. But first, another trade. This is a guy who's always on the block. The Magic trade Aaron Gordon to the Hornets for Terry Rozier. Jack, what do you think?
Ooh, I like that a lot for the Hornets, obviously. That gets them a solid player through, they can't get into free agency, apparently. I think that's a solid move for them.
Yeah, I know. I know Terry's got a bit of a contract to him. And like you said, I think Gordon is getting closer to free agency, if I'm not mistaken. So a bit of a fit pick. Like Magic can kind of get their point guard and their complement to Markel Fultz. I know they have a couple older guys at the guard position, but they don't necessarily have like a sustained young kind of one or two guys there. So that would help. And then Gordon just seems like we already have. I just feel like he just, even when the Raptors have played them last couple seasons, he never really stuck out for me in the Magic system. Like, I know Isaac is always, I know he usually, what does he play? He usually plays the three, but regardless, like, he's kind of their feature forward position. And they have Vucevic, unless that trade that I said earlier happens. So it's like you already have those two guys. And do you really want to invest this money into Gordon? I don't know. That's why I think this would be a good trade. And as well, because the Hornets drafted a guard and they already have Graham, it just, to me, that shouted like maybe they weren't too set on Rozier. I know obviously you need quite a few guards, but that's kind of what made me think about this trade.
That's what I was thinking is, I think when Charlotte picked up Terry Rozier, it was kind of, I assume, the assumption that he would be their go-to guard. Like, he didn't have as much of an opportunity as he could have in Boston. So they like swooped in and said, here, like, you're the starting guard. And then they go and draft LaMelo. And it kind of, as you said, spells out maybe they're going a different direction with it. So I could see that making sense, that trade. Orlando would have their backup guard. I think Terry Rozier is a backup guard on a good team and a starter on a bad team. So I think if he wants to be a winner, he has to take on that six-man kind of a role.
I could see him being a Lou Will. I was just going to say that. Like, he is a feisty player and a good player. But, it's obviously he didn't have a great last season. That's not going to write up his whole career. But I do agree, seems to be a perfect six-man. But do you think the LaMelo Ball – I know I was the one who kind of flirted with the conversation around they're moving on from Rozier, but do you not think that was maybe just a fit, like taking the best player available in the draft? Like, there was a consensus top three picks. LaMelo happened to fall to them, so they couldn't take, like, there was two guards that were in the consensus top three. I'm sure they probably wanted Wiseman, but they obviously didn't have the opportunity to take him. So you take your third best guy. Like, what? Wouldn't everyone be pretty surprised and be like, this is a typical Charlotte move if they didn't take LaMelo Ball?
Yes.
He was taking second.
But at the same time, sometimes I feel like teams have to kind of play the cards that they're dealt. So obviously the chips fell in the way that they get LaMelo Ball. So after the draft, I feel like maybe they need to reassess and be like, okay, where are we now? We took the best player available, LaMelo Ball. That leaves us with, you know, a future starting guard. Now, what do we do, right? Obviously, they would have preferred to have, as you said, Wiseman or something like that. But
they could have had Wiseman.
No. I you made me Google.
LaMelo went second, didn't he?
No, he went third. He went third.
Oh, he did?
Had the second, because you said that again, and I was starting to second guess myself, but I pulled it up. It went Edwards, Wiseman,
Ball. So I feel like they need to just take a step back and say, okay, we were obviously smart to take him. He was the best player on the board. That sucks, but it's the way it happens. So now we have Terry. He's an asset. We can use him to go out and get someone else to fill a void. So I don't know if that's Aaron Gordon. With Gordon Hayward being there, they kind of clash a little bit, I think. But I think Terry Rozier can definitely be an asset for a trade of some sort to fill a need at center or something like that, power forward.
Yeah, for sure. Let's do one more trade. This one is kind of close to home for us as Raptors fans, and something that I wouldn't be surprised happens this season. Still a great player. Don't quote me on this. I believe he's on the last season or last year of his contract. The Spurs trade DeMar DeRozan to the Lakers for Kyle Kuzma and a bit of other things, whether it be picks, a pick or two, and maybe throw in an extra piece. So that's the Lakers go out there and get a two and just go fully in. Not sure if this works from a contract perspective. Maybe they'd have to throw off like a Marquise Morris, something like that. What do you think about that trade?
Jack, take this one. You got this first.
Wasn't Dallas question. I do like that. I think what you were saying with the contract, I don't think that would work.
But they do have a lot of guys. It's like they have actually this year, they have a lot of quality quantity. But do they want to get more just quality? Which they could offload a couple guys who they signed. Like I know Caldwell Pope, they could trade. Wesley Matthews. Kuz, I'm not sure. I think he's in the tell. Yeah, exactly. Like they could get rid of a couple of those guys and just get that star shooting guard. So I think there is a way. Obviously, you'd be cutting out on your depth. But I think this is actually something that maybe could happen. And I know, DeMar's from LA, right?
Yep.
Would this not be the perfect trade for him? Actually, after being abandoned by his team and next year they go win a championship, I'd really love to see him get a chance at a chip. So that's kind of why I threw this trade on there.
Oh, I'd love to see it.
Yeah.
I would absolutely love that. He deserves everything good that can happen to a player in the NBA. He's a really good guy. He's a really good player. And I don't think he has what it takes to be the number one guy. Like we obviously saw that here. It didn't work, but he'd be a dream to have as your second or third guy. You know, if he's your third guy, you're winning a championship. Like you have to win a championship if he's your third guy. And I could see it happening because the Lakers have shown interest. They'd have to throw in plenty of picks for Sanan to be interested. Because I feel like Sanan kind of feels a little bit like the Raptors felt a couple years back, a little bit stuck. They've obviously had so much success before this. Then the whole Kawhi thing happened to them. And ever since then, I think they've felt kind of stuck. DeMar was kind of a consolation prize. He was a pretty good player to get for someone who is demanding out, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes when players are demanding out, you cut your losses and you don't get much back. But they got a star back. So I think they were happy, but for a franchise that's so used to winning on the level that Sanan is, they're not satisfied with, you know, barely making the playoffs or last year not even getting in. So I could see it happening, and I'd love to see it because DeRozan deserves to have some success.
It does scare me from an LA perspective, not that I'm an LA fan, but say they get rid of a couple of these guys like Caldwell Pope, Wesley Matthews. Are they a bit liable from on the arc now if they have a DeRozan who's not known? I know he's gotten a bit better, but not known from three. LeBron obviously can hit any shot in the world, but I wouldn't say he's like a three-point specialist. I just think that might leave them a little liable. Not like any of those other guys I listed are like JJ Redick's, but still I think that may be a bit of a question mark if you bring a guy in like DeMar.
I think they could keep you honest. But, yeah, for sure, they'd be weaker than most from out there. But I still think they'd have a good shot. Like, I would still bet on them because, as you said, if AD, LeBron, or even DeRozan are left open, they're going to hit the three, like, at least, a third of the time, which in the NBA most nights is all you really need to do.
And the mid-range would just be absolutely unstoppable if you had
deadly.
Davis, DeMar, LeBron, Alex Caruso, guys like that in the close to the paint, then it's deadly.
That's the best, I think, in the game.
Yeah.
And because of that, because of how lethal it would be inside, they'd have to kind of give you the three. And as I said, if LeBron James is wide open, if AD is wide open, they're hitting that three enough times to win the game.
I'd agree for sure. All right. Anybody else have any? I know I kind of hogged the show there with some trades. Anybody have some trades they wanted to mention? We don't want to stick on this topic for too long, but if you guys have some good ones you wanted to share, I'd love to hear them.
I had a couple written down. I don't think they make any sense. like definitely contractually they don't, but
give us a quick rundown and we'll give you a yay or nay, Glenn.
Okay, yeah, we'll just do a quick yay or nay of the ones that I have. I only have a couple, some for Giannis. So if things don't go well for the Bucks and they don't think that he's gonna sign, they may look to trade to get something back. So naturally my first one said Giannis to Toronto for
Get your hand out of your pants, Glenn.
This is a fair trade. Giannis to Toronto for Norm, OG, and 2 first-round picks. If he says I'm not signing here, we're having a bad season, or it's like obvious he's not coming back, you would kill to get Norm, OG, and 2 first-round picks when he's gonna walk a couple months later.
Norm doesn't hop onto me because he's coming to near the end of his contract. He's not really proven, and also that piece personally doesn't stick out to me. OG, I think, is the clear winner. Like if you look at the Kawhi trade, for example, he's better than. I would debate that Kawhi is, or sorry, OG is better than for sure Poeltl, and I would even say that he's better than DeMar in longevity. Not that he is immediately better, but like, do you think San Antonio would rather have DeMar? Or they would rather have OG right now? It's tough to say, right? Because if DeMar resigns, it's tough, but it really makes you think, doesn't it?
It does. Like the draw for OG is he's that much younger. But I kind of see them being similar players. I'm not sure which one I'd prefer, honestly, if someone said right now you can have DeMar or OG. I guess for the longevity factor, yeah, OG.
I think you'd be getting pretty dogged on though if you said you'd rather have OG than DeMar, because OG is unproven. Yeah. We like him because we're a Raptors fan, but I feel like 95%
anyone in the NBA
league doesn't even know who he is. Yeah,
yeah.
But just because we've seen him so closely and we've seen him progress, and from a longevity perspective, we do lean towards OG because he's younger. So yeah. I like that trade, Glenn. I wouldn't take it. It's good to talk about it. Creates conversation, right?
The only way it could happen is if Giannis is forcing his way out and it's like, okay, we need to get something for him. But if they're able to keep like the lid on it and kind of get it hidden that he really wants out and get other teams to bid a little bit more, no, this one would never fly.
But is OG and Norm worth giving up a chance at winning this championship this year?
It would depend what's happening. Like I'm thinking like if they're not having a good year, if there's injuries, if Drew Holiday's out, if Giannis gets hurt, if this or that, if he's hurt and it's not looking like they're going to win and he's saying like, I'm out of here sort of thing, like this team, I can't compete with the Brooklyns and the Lakers, then I think it's a long shot, but he might force his way out. We'll see what happens before the 22nd. He has till the 21st, so I guess that's a week today to sign the Supermax, and if not, he can't sign it till after the season. So.
And that's probably the thing you're most looking forward to over the next 2 weeks, right?
Yeah, pretty much. No one cares about the first week of the season.
I meant in comparison to Christmas. You're probably more excited to that than Christmas. Just
COVID Christmas. Who gives a shit?
Oh, damn. This guy's anti-Christmas now.
This year.
Happy holidays to you.
Any other ones on your
this year?
So Jack, I think I'm gonna give that a nay, but I like what you're coming from. It's just impossible to put together a trade for Giannis, but I do like that. Jack?
I have another one, a All Giannis right. one.
Let's hear what Jack has to say. Yay, nay.
Oh, I'm a yay.
He's a yay for that.
Just because he is a big
great deal for us.
Yay.
All right, let's hear the second one, Glenn.
The other Giannis one is Giannis to Golden State. For Clay, he's out all season. Who knows what he'll come back as? Clay, Wiggins, 2 first-rounders.
I like that trade. I saw a similar trade like that on Tim and Sid for James Harden. Not sure if you watched the program and that's where you got the trade from. But that is like, I really like that because I think Golden State's going to do something. They have so many, like even Kelly Oubre is a good prospect. Not
Steph Curry's window's closing, right? They have a once-in-a-generational player. They got to give him some talent, especially if Clay's out for this season.
No, I actually really like that trade. I think that can go for any of the big guys. Like I said, Harden, Giannis. Yeah. I don't know what other big guys are kind of on the radar. What do you think about that one, Jay?
Yeah, no, I think it's a weirdly, like, there's so many benefits, like, pros and cons to that trade. It's hard to think about. I think it would be immediately good for the Warriors because they're still left with Oubre, Green, and still a few other guys. Like, I do like that for both teams, actually. I don't know if it was from Bucks' perspective. I don't know how good it is a trade for them, but.
That's good. That's a well put together trade, Glenn. That's a definite yay for me. Good job.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Jack, what is it from you?
I'll give it a yay because Glenn made it.
Aww.
And he's the insider. He knows what's good. All right, guys.
Insider of what?
The NBA. The you insider. Break all the trade deals.
He's inside his house. He's inside the loop. He's inside the Zoom call. He's inside everything.
You got to break trades. We're going to get you to start breaking them.
I'll break them. I'll be the first guy after Woj. I'll just constantly refresh Woj's Twitter and be the first guy in the world.
What if you get you a Twitter account? We make it kind of professional, and then we'll share like screenshots of your tweets like 2 or 3 hours later, like breaking all these trades. I think that's good. I think
we just pretend Glenn broke it. We just pretend you.
3 weeks later,
you, so we can only get the news from you,
Glenn Baum.
We've got something. There's something going on here. We gotta stick with this.
Hey, if you make the account,
we'll call it like the Big Mac or something. What's it? What, we gotta get some play on words going here. This is happening. I'm writing that down.
All right.
Any trades you had, Jay, that you want to talk about?
Not exactly. I was more just thinking of like.
We went through about 1,000.
The ones that
of
you've
them.
Said now. Glenn took all my good ones.
I didn't even say any Mavericks.
Yeah, no deals for my Mavs guys.
LeBron to the Mavericks for Jalen Brunson.
I'd do that.
That's
a yay. All right. Speaking of your Mavs, do you want to kind of get into what we're thinking for the season ending standings and the champions? You want to hop right into it? The most important part of the podcast?
Would love to.
All right. So this kind of brings us to the feature portion of this podcast where we kind of talk about which teams we think are shit, which teams we think are going to be decent, and who we eventually think is going to win the NBA championship. So let's start with our biggest flops of the season, just which teams we think aren't going to be good at all, who's going to be competing for that first overall pick. I'm going to throw my couple of my worst teams out there first. Just teams that I'm not that interested in. My first team is Oklahoma City Thunder. I think they're a shoe-in for either the first, second, or third overall pick. They just really don't have that many players left on their roster anymore. Like, they traded everyone for picks. I know we talked about Horford being there, but other than that, I know Shea is a great player, but I don't think he's ready to lead a team to a playoff spot, so I think that's one of the teams. And I'm going to throw another team out there, the New York Knicks. They do have a lot of good pieces, but they're still all young, and I don't think they're going anywhere this year. I also think they're due for a little draft luck, hoping they can get a higher pick. I know, obviously, they got the Barrett pick, but last year they kind of got screwed over. I mean, I do think they have the Rookie of the Year, but they definitely didn't get one of those top three picks. What do you guys think? Who else do you think is competing for that first overall draft pick?
Yeah, I think you named some good ones. Knicks and Thunder on my list. I'm not getting too excited when I look at the Bulls. You know, they've got some young guys, that Kobe White. He's pretty good, and they've got a couple like Lauri Markkanen. I'm expecting a bigger season out of them last year. Apparently they're going to put more of the offense through him, but I still don't see the Bulls being anything to be scared of. The Kings, I'm not really too excited about the Kings. Cavs, I mean, they do have Kevin Love and Andre Drummond, but Kevin Love's a walking injury the last couple years. And
I put them in italics because I know I said a couple trades maybe with them, even with Drummond. So I don't know where they're going to finish. Like, they could finish at like a 10th overall pick, maybe like an 8th, or they could be last. It just depends if they trade one of their big guys, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. And I also see the Spurs not, I don't think, obviously they're going to be the worst, but they're definitely, I don't see to be a playoff team this year, but if I had to pick the number one pick, yeah, you took it with the Thunder. They don't have anyone left, and Shea's not ready to put, like, he's one guy, right? In this league, you need at least two, three, four, you know, almost stars to even in the West to be in a playoff spot. So, yeah, the Thunder, I think, are taking the number one pick.
Jay, you agree with us?
Yeah, my bottom four were OKC, Cavs, Knicks, and then Pistons.
I actually might. I had the Pistons down there. I had them at 14th in the East. I don't think they're any good, and I don't think Blake Griffin. But if he can stay on the court, I don't think he has the capacity with that.
They got a lot worse. Yeah.
I also, one of the other trades I had queued up was a Derrick Rose trade to Phoenix. I didn't think it was big enough to throw it on to like and field it with you guys, but I just think Phoenix kind of does need one more guard. Throw Derrick Rose in there because they're, I think, spoiler, but I think they might be pushing for a playoff spot. So I think they might want to add some talent there. So that was, they'd get even worse with a trade like that. And Derrick Rose has proven he's still a good player. He's coming back, not into his prime, obviously, but he's showing he's a serviceable guard still. So I think that's somebody who you could look for at the trade deadline to pick up if someone needs a guard.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into the real action. We're going to throw it off to our insider, Glenn McFarlane. We want to hear your 5th through 8th selections in the Eastern Conference.
In the East? Okay. So I'd like to preface all of this by saying this is pre-James Harden trade. Obviously, this all goes out the window if James Harden gets traded, especially with the West when it comes to the Rockets. But in the East, number 8, I've got Indiana. Okay. You know, I think they're still a playoff team, but barely. It depends how Oladipo comes back, if he can get back to all-star form. But there's a lot of question marks there, but I think they have definitely enough talent to squeak in. Number 7, I see Washington. I think, you know, having Bradley Beal, he's so underrated. People don't talk about him enough. He's so good. Bradley Beal now playing with Russell Westbrook, I feel like it's hard to count them out of a playoff spot. You know, when John Wall was healthy, Beal and Wall were always a playoff team in the East. So with Westbrook, he's also, you know, he's been the MVP. You know, he's been the MVP of the league, not even that long back. I think you got to give them a playoff spot. So I got them at 7. 6, I got the Sixers. I think I thought they got better over the offseason, but then I looked at their roster again recently and I'm like, it's good. It's definitely a playoff team. They could make some noise, but I think they need one more trade to actually be a contender. So I've got them down at 6 just because they haven't proved me any different the last couple years. And at 5, I've got Miami Heat. I think they had a really good run in the bubble and I think they're a really good team, but I think they were hot back in the summer during the bubble, and I think they can't sustain that for 72 games, but still a really competitive team. They could go far in the playoffs. Just depends if they get on a streak, but I've got them coming in at 5th.
All right. Let's go straight to you, Jack, and then we'll do some analysis after.
All right. So at 8, I got the Wizards. Pretty much all of these are just going to be the same reasons that Glenn listed. At 7, I have the Hawks. 6, I also have the Sixers. And then at 5, I have the Raptors.
All right. First viewing of the Raptors. I'll get right into mine as well. I have at 8 the Atlanta Hawks. I really like the Hawks this year. Not certain on that pick, but I want to give them a shot. I think Trey's going to have a big year. Washington Wizards, I actually think they're going to be a very good team. I feel like Westbrook's stock has gone down so much recently. And he's still such a great player. He was the MVP only a couple years ago, along with Beal, one of the most cold-blooded players in the league. I think that's going to be a great tandem. Guy who can shoot and the guy who can get to the hoop. So I think they'll still finish 7th just because they're new together. I've got the Toronto Raptors in at 6th. Definitely lower than some people may have. But I think this year, eventually, you can only finish in the top 4 for so long. And I think it's time that they eventually drop the lower in the standings. Not to say that I don't think they're going to do better in the playoffs, because they do have a lot of grizzled vets and championship players on that team, but just in regards to the regular season and also pulling together some of these new players on their team, as long as rookies, it may be a bit tougher to finish in one of those massive 50-plus win seasons that we've kind of become accustomed to the last couple of years. And then at 5, I have the Boston Celtics. So, anybody hear any picks that stuck out to you that you were like, fuck, that's totally wrong, or that's a pretty good one? Throw it off to you, G.
Celtics at 5.
You don't like that?
I'll skip the line. Hey. I'll just murder this one.
I know. Yeah, you don't like that?
That's exactly what I was going to say. It's too low for the Celts.
I think it's way too low for the Celtics.
Why?
They're an up-and-coming team. Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, they're just getting better every year. Like, we saw glimpses of it in the playoffs last year, the series that we had against them. And when they're good, man, they're good. They were beating the Raptors, these grizzled vets who'd won a championship a couple months prior. They were beating us playoff games by 20 or 30 consistently. Yeah, we got it to 7 because we had the experience. But as they get better and they're well coached and as they play together more, they're dangerous. They're a dangerous team.
Yeah, I do like the Celtics. Don't get me wrong. I just think there's a lot of good teams in the East this year.
I hate them.
I mean, I have an obvious team that you guys both listed, and you listed them both at 6 that I haven't said yet, that I think is going to be better than the Celtics this year. So I don't know. Do we want to just get right into our top 4 picks, and then we'll talk about the overall standings in the East? Glenn, let's lead us off.
Okay, sounds good. So at 4... I got the Raptors. I agree. I think they're going to fall a little bit, but I still think, I got to go with the Raptors. I think they got home court, but just. Number 3, I got the Celtics. I think the top 3 are going to be pretty tightly packed, but I've got the Celtics at 3. 2, Brooklyn Nets. Considering they stay healthy, you know, on paper, they've got a lethal team. So, keeping all the drama out and the injuries, I think the Nets will finish 2nd. And then for the, third year in a row? Is it 3rd year in a row? I think I see the Bucks coming first.
Yep, I like that. Jack, who do you see in the top 4?
So at 4, I got the Nets. 3, I have the Heat. I like the Heat. I know Glenn said they couldn't stay hot, but I think that's just a hard team to beat. So I like them at 3. 2, I have the Bucks. And number 1, I have the Celtics. Barring this theory of them. I really hope he's not right. I like the Celtics, and I think they're young. I think they're a hungry team, and they're, like Glenn said, well coached. So I could see them finishing first.
I've got a bit different here than you guys, that's for sure. I have the Heat coming in at 4. They got to the Eastern Conference Final. For a reason. I also think they're kind of turning into a good kind of regular season team. I see them kind of being the Raptors of this wave. They've got these new young players who are really solid, led by Jimmy Butler. I compare him to Kyle Lowry, but even better. Just solid, knows how to win. And wouldn't be surprised if maybe a big name popped in on their team and kind of carouseled them up the standings. Maybe it beat James Harden. So I like them up there at number 4. Number 3, I like the Brooklyn Nets. I think they're an incredible team now. Obviously, I didn't pick them at 1 or 2, although I do think they are a very good team. Just they got to gel a bit. Who knows how many games Durant is going to play. I know Kyrie's had some injury problems. So I dropped them down a couple in the standings, but just from pure talent alone, I had to put them at number 3. A bit of controversial pick here. Obviously, I have the Sixers at number 2. I think they have – I don't think Joel Embiid has been playing to his potential. I think he's one of the best players in the league, and when his attitude shows it, which especially I think if he wants to win this year, they can. As well, Simmons, if he pulls it together, a bit of a jump shot, I think they're good, and they have finally a leader on their team. And say what you want about Danny Green missing some key shots in the finals, whatnot. He's won 2 straight championships for a reason. And that veteran presence will help. As well, they picked up Seth Curry, one of the best three-point shooters in the league, and I think that's something they've struggled with the last couple of years. So I really like their team this year. I think they'll be an especially good regular season team. So I'm going to go with them at number two. And then Milwaukee is number one. I think they're just such an incredible team. Even some of their kind of talent in the lower end of their roster, like the Bobby Portises, the Bryn Forbes, the DJ Augustines, those are all great guys who can also shoot the three. I think Milwaukee's had a great offseason. Some said it wasn't enough, but at least, especially for the regular season, I think they're just going to be dominant. Any takes on any of those picks, Insider Glenn?
Yeah, I think obviously the Philly one is your most out there prediction. You know, it could happen. Like, they have a good team for sure, but I think two is too high. I would say maximum three. But I had them all the way down at six. So obviously I don't see eye to eye with the two thing. But hey, there have been bigger surprises before. But I think it's almost a shoe-in that Milwaukee comes first. I like that pick. I picked that too. I think they got better over the offseason. Drew Holiday, I've always been a huge fan of him. He seems like a really great guy. Yeah, like obviously he's a great player. He also seems like a great guy to have on the team in kind of the locker room with like the younger guys and everything like that. I really like him. So I think this is off topic a little bit, but if they signed Bogdan like they were trying to in the summer, and like that trade that everyone said went through that didn't.
Yep.
I think Giannis would have signed. He would have already signed the Supermax. That really hurt them, and that really hurt their chances of kind of making some noise. I think obviously they still can, but when I heard that trade fell through, I felt very relieved as a Raptors fan. So that's going to hurt them, I think, because he's a really good player. But I think, yeah, regular season, they're still, I would say, virtually a shoe-in for first.
I'd 100% agree with you on that one. Got the best player, regular season player in that conference, and the player who's going to be on the court the most, in my opinion. That's, I know, obviously, you could say Durant, Kyrie, and a couple other guys, but the guy who, fingers crossed, hasn't had injury problems over the last 3 years, that's why I'd say that the Bucks are going to finish first.
You'll have to think he'll play 62 of the 72 games. Right, yeah. Unlike KD and Kyrie.
Yeah. So, yeah. Anything to chime in on there, Jack?
No, I think that's pretty safe. I think Bucks are definitely a lock. In mine, I have them second. I could see them easily being first. So, yeah. And I agree with the Bogdan opinion as well. I think that really hurt their chances. And maybe why I didn't pick them for number one.
I like it. Do you guys want to jump over to the Western Conference before we get into our champions here?
Let's do it. Yep.
Let's start off with, I guess we'll throw it back to, let's go to Jay this time. Let's go 5-8 in the Western Conference. Who you got?
So at 8, I got the Suns.
Yep.
I think Chris Paul bolsters that. I think that'll propel them to the 8. I could see them overachieving that as well, just as easily, but I'll be safe at 8. Next, I have the Jazz. I think they're a lock for playoffs. The West is just such a – these could be random at any time in the West. The West, you never know. So I have them at 7. They could easily be as high as 3, I think. Then I have the Rockets. I don't know what they're going to do, but I can't see them not missing playoffs, especially when they have James Harden. So I think I had to put them in there. And then I have the Warriors at 5. I think they're still good.
Okay. I like the Warriors up there. Glenn, who do you have?
Yeah, I was trying to make this in a way that I could sneak the Suns into 8 because I really think it's possible. I think that's a good take, but I just couldn't whittle down enough teams to not make it to let the Suns in. There's so many good teams in the West, and it's such a crapshoot. But I couldn't put the Suns in. I just wanted to mention them. I have them at 9, but just missing.
All right, so you don't believe in them.
Yeah. So at 8, I've got the Warriors. I think they're going to be a little lower Steph Curry missed a lot of games last year. I don't know how many he's going to play. He's had a lot of time to rest, obviously, since like COVID started. So that's going to help him. But I don't know, with Klay out the entire season and Draymond didn't look so great last year. I've got them at 8. At 7, I've got the Blazers. You know, they haven't always been the best regular season team. They tend to turn it on in the playoffs or close to the playoffs. So I've got them at 7. Assuming James Harden stays, or I don't really know what to think about Houston, but I've got them in there at 6. Could easily change in the next couple days, depending on what happens, or weeks or months. I don't know how long this process will be, but I've got them at 6. And at 5, I've got the Jazz, because as I said, I think they're going to have a big chip on their shoulder after how last year ended. They're a really good team. As I said earlier with Quinn Snyder, they're really well coached. So I could see them coming 5th.
I like it. I'm going to go with mine quickly here. At 8, I have Golden State, pretty much similar to Glenn. I think Curry can put any NBA team in the playoffs. I just don't know what's going to happen around that team. I do see maybe a trade happening there. I know they have a lot of pieces, like I said earlier, and that could easily catapult them up, because although the West is extremely tough, I think it's just so tight that a trade, like a monumental trade by the Warriors, could kind of catapult them up 2 or 3 spots, because that bottom half is very, very close. At 7, I have the Jazz. I just don't think they did anything this year. Like they're the exact same, which some could say is good from like a morale and a chemistry perspective, but in a conference that is always getting better and always tough, I just think the Jazz probably needed to do something and added to either their depth or another star. So I have them at 7. Houston, I agree with you guys. I had the Phoenix Suns, and I really wanted to put them in the playoffs as well. I think Booker deserves to get in the playoffs. Ayton is great, and Paul has proven that he can catapult a team that's not necessarily great into the playoffs. I actually had, until a couple days ago, I just assumed Harden would maybe be traded, and I had them actually out of the playoffs for a bit, but then now it seems like a more reality that Harden's going to stay, and even if he does get traded, they'll probably get a serviceable player back. So I've got Houston in there at 6. And then I have the Denver Nuggets at 5. Kind of similar. I know Jamal is going to get better and prove that in the playoffs, but Denver's just finished in the top of the league for a couple of years now. I think they're kind of destined to drop a few spots. I don't think they necessarily got worse. I just think other teams have gotten better and they're kind of due to drop a couple spots. I still think they can do some damage in the playoffs because they're so deep. But the Nuggets just don't excite me that much. I know Jamal is a good Canadian talent, but Jokic as a star, I know he is a star, but he just doesn't, I just don't love, like, he's not the name that I'm looking at to kind of lead you to a championship. Although last year they almost did it. So I'll leave the Denver Nuggets there. Probably not a popular pick because I see both of you guys don't have them in your bottom 4. So feel free to shoot some daggers at me now if you wish.
I can't even shoot any daggers, and I want to be mean because you keep encouraging me to not agree with you. But I had Denver lower in my kind of like original picks, and then I played with it a little bit after I slept on it. I put them higher up, as you'll see, but I think, as you said, like they've been at the top for a while, so it might be their time's come to an end. But then I got thinking back about their playoff run last year and how they took out the Clippers and how they almost went to the finals if it wasn't for a couple big games from AD. They would have gone to the finals. So I had trouble putting them in the bottom half of the West. So that's my kind of rationale for why they weren't there. But you're right. When I think of a player to lead me to a championship, I don't think of Jokic or Jamal Murray, right? But as a sum of their parts, it might be enough to make some noise again. So that's kind of my rationale. Sorry, I think I cut you off there, Jack, earlier.
No, I just was just going to say that I disagree with that, but I could see them falling. I could see any of these. Like, I could see the Lakers finishing like 7th somehow.
It's
like,
so
the West is so random.
Tight. Yeah.
The West is so random, so I'm not going to knock Nuggets being at 5. I think they'll be higher, But yeah, I could see them finishing clearly anywhere at this point. The biggest omission I had from mine was like how Glenn couldn't fit the Suns in, I couldn't fit the Trailblazers in. And I think that's going to be a lot on. It'll basically just be what the Rockets
do. Oh, wow.
And that'll. I have the Trailblazers out, though, but that's just because I couldn't.
That's a spoiler. I thought you had them in the top four. That's what I was just looking at.
Nope.
All right, let's get right into it, Jack. Now that you've kind of spilled the beans, tell us your top four.
All right. So, four, I got Clippers. I think, once again, it's just so random. They could be anywhere. I think they'll be in the top four, though. At three, I got Dallas. As you said, I'm a Dallas guy.
Yep.
Through and through. I believe Dallas. I have them at three. Then I get the Lakers at two. I'm an LA guy, born and raised.
Through and through.
And then through and through, Mile High City. I got my Denver Nuggets at one.
Wow.
When I think of who do I want to finish at the top of the seed, I think of a big European guy, and then I think of Jokic. So I think you just got to love him. Number
All
one.
All right. All right.
Hot take.
Glenn, what do you have?
So, number four, everyone knows it. I'm a big Dallas guy through and through.
Come on, my fucking bit.
I've got them at four. I think Doncic is good enough to get them that high. Kristaps, he's injured right now, I believe, but I'm sure he'll be back in the next little bit. I think I read January. So they'll be healthy Glenn for most of the season.
Yeah.
Glenn Baum. Yeah.
Big Mac.
And so I could see them making some noise in the playoffs, but at least having home court. So four. Number three, I've got the Nuggets. As I said, I was kind of flip-flopping on where I wanted them. So I ultimately decided to put them in the top half. So got them at three. Number two, got the Lakers. Number one. Kawhi and his Clippers.
Your ex-girlfriend.
Yeah.
Your ex-wife, Kawhi Leonard. You just can't get enough of him, eh, Glenn? What it could have been.
Hey, we would have won last year, that's for sure. Easily repeated if he stayed, but the past is in the past.
All right, I'll spit mine out quickly. Have a couple names on here. I know Jack will like it, but you guys might not like one of them. I got Jack's Lakers at number one. I got Jack's Mavs at number two. At three, I have Portland. And at four, I have the Clippers. I know I kind of changed up the order, but I had to hit you with Jack's two favorite teams as the top two together. So I'm going four Clippers, three Trailblazers. I'd say that's an unpopular pick. I'd like to hear your opinion. The Mavs, and then first, the Lakers. What do you guys think?
Well, I think that's a hot take to have. Well, it's kind of a hot take from both of you to have Portland at three and not in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean,
I'll let you guys banter about
it
that.
It couldn't be more different.
Well, I just wish the Rockets weren't in this, man.
I know.
I wish we knew about the Rockets.
Yeah.
What about the Portland Trailblazers don't you like, Jack? Because I'm in love with them, actually. And I think it might
be just like eight other teams. It's not that I don't like them. Like, if they're in the East, they're top five for me. But I like the order that I have, actually. I like the chances of my eight getting in. It just really depends on the Rockets and the Suns and how they perform. I don't think they can't. I don't think they're like, they're definitely not going to make the playoffs. I just didn't list them.
Yeah, it is funny because you make these standings and you kind of try to have some different takes than people. And then you look at the rosters, but I just really like Dame and I think he's destined to go. And it kind of makes me want to change my MVP vote, but I think he's just got to have one of those years that he's just explosive. And I know we got a taste of it the last couple of years, but I just think especially regular season, he's a guy who usually stays on the court. So I like that.
Yeah.
Nurkic is as well a good player. Hopefully he can stay on the court. And just a small pickup like Robert Covington.
Yeah.
I feel like he doesn't get a lot of love, but that's such a great player to compliment. Like the problem, they don't have two players. So that's why I like them in the regular season, but maybe not in the playoffs.
Well, they got CJ.
Yeah, but two stars. Like so many teams have aligned on two superstars now. You look like the Lakers have.
CJ can go off though. CJ can go off on his nights. Like, I think the Blazers got a lot better over the offseason. Like, last year they were good. Like, they were competitive last year. And now, obviously, another year for Dame, who I agree could get MVP. He can have a huge season. He's due for an MVP season. You got CJ who can go off at any time. Nurkic is back. They re-signed Carmelo, Rocco, Derek Jones Jr. That's honestly a big, big pickup. He was on the Heat, right? Am I thinking of the right guy?
Yeah, is he on? Is he on the trail?
Derek Jones Jr.?
He's on. Yeah. Is he on the Trailblazers?
Oh, yeah. I got Trailblazers number one then.
Like, I know.
I didn't know they got Jr.
They do. Yep, they do have him. He's a good small forward, and they also have Rodney Hood, which is a guy who just puts the. He's not a six man, but he's a guy on the bench who can score buckets, which is always good.
Yeah, like I think they got better, and I think three is a little high, but I think he definitely got to put them in a playoff spot. That's why I have him at seven.
No, you don't have to.
Could easily be six or five because I don't know what's happening with the Rockets and. Yeah.
Also, that young guy, Simons, like he wasn't anything too special last year, but I know there was some hype around him too. I mean, I'm a bit worried at them from the guard perspective, and I'd like to see them go get, say, a Derrick Rose, something like that, to come off the bench because he's kind of their backup point guard. And then they have CJ, but no one else sticks out. I know Rodney Hood could probably play the two if he needs to, but I'd like to see them go out and maybe get some point guard, shooting guard depth. But I just think they're a very deep team. Every position they have kind of two guys. And Melo, he won't get much love, but he played so well last year. And I think that's a nice guy to have coming off the bench if you need to get 10 points there. Like he can spot 10 in 5 minutes if he needs to. So I really like Iguodala. Exactly. And he's a veteran presence. I know he hasn't. Has he won? No, right? But I just like him off the bench being a vet, being a guy who can put the ball in the net because sometimes you just need that. I think about some of the Raptors playoff runs where they just didn't have anyone who could take the ball and put it in the net. I know obviously you have your Dames and you have your CJs, you have good shooters, but sometimes you just need that guy who's just going to go in there and score a bucket and it's going to be ugly during those garbage minutes of the playoffs or the regular season even because we're not talking playoffs. So I really like this Portland team, and although I'm a bit nervous because Jack had them out of the playoffs, and I know, Glenn, what you had them at six, so that's not very seven. Nice. Or seven. Seven, yeah. So that's not necessarily very forgiving for me, but I kind of stand by this pick, and I do like them, almost more so than the Mavericks now that I – even though I had them above, but I do like Doncic, have an incredible season. So I'll stick with my
pick. Talk about bad the Portland does, though.
What's that?
Let's talk about the bad side of Portland, though. We're talking about the good.
What's the bad side of Portland? I'd like to hear it. Because I don't see it looking at the roster.
Carmelo's old. Damian broke his finger. CJ's not that good.
That's just I don't even see Damian.
The Suns are better.
I don't see Damian on the injury reserve on this website, at least.
The Suns are better? No.
CJ... Man.
I like the Suns, man. I don't care.
I like the Suns, but not better than the Blazers.
I'm a believer.
I'm just looking at Phoenix. Like, they have Chris Paul and Devin Booker, and then do they have anyone else?
Ayton,
yeah, but...
Ayton, stud.
Chris Paul is going to...
Stud.
They have a good... They have
a lot less of an integral part with Booker, because Booker likes to have the ball.
I just think they have a great starting lineup, but after that, I don't see much. Like, they have Chris Paul, Devin Booker, Jay Crowder, Saric, and Ayton. But after that, it's like you can only start the game, and then when it gets to the second quarter, it's like, who are you going to pass the ball
to? Sounds good to me. I didn't even know they had Saric. I might put them number one ahead of the Blazers.
East, I would put the Suns in the playoffs in the East for sure. Like, I'd take out Indiana and put in the Suns, but the West is just too competitive. Unless there's some major injuries. I'm not saying it's impossible. I have them at nine, and obviously things can change with injuries and trades, but if it were exactly how the conditions are today, I'd have them just missing.
We'll have to see.
Why do you like the Clippers at 1G in the regular season when Kawhi might sit his ass on the bench for half the games?
I mean, he sat his ass on the bench for half the games last year, and they still finished second. And I feel like they've gotten better. Even though they lost Trez, I still think they got better with Ibaka. You know, as we talked about earlier, with Trez gone, Lou Will's got a bigger role off the bench. Paul George in the playoffs was not Paul George. Like, he got a lot of hate, but, like, that wasn't Paul George. He's going to come back to full form. He just signed that massive deal. Kawhi, like, we saw it with the Raptors. He sat a lot here, and we still finished with an incredible record, right? Like, his the system that he commands and the intensity that he commands rubs off, and I think it's going to be a good season for the Clippers.
All right. Jack, any other further comments, or do you want to hop right into our championship teams?
We can get into the championships.
All right, so Glenn, we're going to hit you with this on the spot. As per tradition last year, if anyone does select the champion, now that we have three people in, the two losers will have to split on a jersey for the person who picks the champion. Do you agree to this deal?
Yeah, sounds good. I feel like I wish I thought harder about my answer then.
I thought you were going to say that you have to start thinking about which jersey you want. So I thought that's the path you were going. No. And it has to be a jersey of who you select as well. I know Jack got his nice Lakers jersey last year. I took the L on that pick in Houston. As you can see, I like going off the board with my selections based on tonight. So that backfired for me. But let's get right into it. Let's start with our runner-up, Glenn. Who are you selecting as your runner-up this year?
All right. I'm going to stick with what I wrote earlier, even though I wish.
Oh, he's under pressure here.
I'm going to stick with it. My runner-up is the LA Clippers.
Oh, wow. First in the West, but second in the league. Okay. That's yep. That's kind of scaring me that we may have similar picks, G, but because I personally might lean that way, but now I'm debating. Jack, who's your runner-up?
Mine is the Miami Heat.
Ooh, Miami Heat back to the finals, but kind of sitting on the doorstep. And my runner-up is the LA Lakers. I think they're going to go back to the championship, but not take home the W this year, not go back-to-back. All right, let's get into the most important part of this podcast here. A jersey on the line, fame and pride on the line as well. Glenn, who are you picking for your championship team? And give us a quick 10-15-second speech on why you think they'll win.
All right. This is kind of risky just because we don't know anything about them, but I'm going with the Brooklyn Nets. I'm picking them as the champs. I think back to Kevin Durant and I think Westbrook back in OKC and how close they got to beating Golden State. Now it's Kevin Durant and Kyrie, a proven champion. Well, both of them are coming out of the East easier than the West. They almost took a similar team, almost took down the dynasty of the Warriors a couple years back. So I'm thinking Nets have a good chance. They're well coached. Two of the biggest superstars in the league. And plus their team, when they were both out, was pretty damn good too. You know, I know we swept them in the playoffs, but to be a playoff team and have the season that the Nets did without Kyrie for most of it and KD for all of it, it scares me what they're going to be when they're fully healthy.
All right. To you, Jack.
So I got the Miami Heat losing two. The Phoenix Suns.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't laugh when you said your pick, Glenn. I actually have the Lakers because they won last year and they got better. And I'm an LA guy. So.
And you already LA got the jersey to cheer on for them this year anyway. So.
Yeah, I need another one. I'm going to have a full Raptor by the end of this. All done.
I mean, that pick, I have them in second. I really wouldn't be surprised if they repeated with the GOAT leading them all the way to the finals. But I am actually going to go with the Nice team, obviously, beating the Lakers in the finals. Unfortunately, I'm going to select the Brooklyn Nets as well, Glenn. I know it's not great that we have matching picks. You can change yours if you want. I know you're debating it, but I can't not pick the Nets. I think they have the best roster for sure. I understand LeBron is the best player in the league. AD could debatably be the second, but I don't think he is. I think Durant is probably, if he is on the court, is the best player in the NBA right now. And I think Kyrie is the most clutch player in the league as well. That's not it. Like, they have so many good guards. They have LeVert. They have Spencer Dinwiddie, could be the sixth man of the year. They have Jared Allen, who's an up-and-coming center. And they also have DeAndre Jordan, who's a vet who can back him up. Like, everyone on their roster. And I haven't even mentioned Joe Harris, who's one of the best three-point shooters in the league. Like, I just think their roster is so good. Obviously, Glenn, like we said, it is a risky pick. Who knows if they can stay on the court. But I think if they do, I think they're just going to easily run the East. A bit of challenge with the Bucks, maybe the 76ers as well. But I just think that Durant's too clutch and Kyrie is too clutch. I don't think they're going to lose, and I think they can blow by the Lakers as well. I'm not sold on the Lakers this year. I think LeBron can will them to the finals, but I think regardless, I still think LeBron can get them to the finals, but I just think the Nets have the two better players. And as well, they're both shooters. So that's the thing. Like, you look at the NBA in 2020, I'd rather take the two shooters than kind of the two bigger players. So that's my pick for the championship. I think we're going to have to figure something else, Glenn, if the Nets win. I don't know if we're going to split.
I was just going to ask. I don't see Jack buying two jerseys.
These terms anymore.
Yeah, I don't see him buying two jerseys.
I think maybe what we'll have to do.
He wants to be buying one. I'm out.
We'll figure it out. We'll figure. Maybe it'll have to be Jack Wise's two nice T-shirts then instead of jerseys. But I don't know. Maybe Glenn and I could put a wager on and we can double up and we can go who's going to be in the finals. I think that's the best solution. So say the Lakers and the Nets get to the finals. I get the jersey. Glenn, if you're Clippers and the Brooklyn Nets get to the finals, you get the jersey. If that doesn't happen, then I'm running out of ideas on the spot. We'll figure it out. But I think that's a good way.
Yeah,
that's good. You know, there's always going to be, when it's Jack and I, it's easier to not have repeats. But when we have three of us, there's obviously going to be repeats. But I think there was a bit of parity in our picks. I think it was still awesome to kind of go over what we think is going to happen with the leagues in regards to the awards, some trades. Anybody else have any final comments or topics they want to bring up? We'll throw it off to Jay first.
No, not really. I think we're all pretty much, there's a lot of parity in ours, I would say, besides like two, I think, and then the finals pick. So I think it's pretty good this year.
Anything you want to say as our NBA insider? We'd like you kind of finalize this podcast. I know we've been going for a while, Glenn, and we appreciate you hopping on and sharing a few Glenn Bombs and Big Macs with us, and we'll keep those going throughout the season for sure. Why don't you give us a couple lines of what you think this NBA season is going to be like in this kind of abbreviated bubble season, and what you think of your selections today?
Yeah, no. Thanks for having me on. I'm super excited for the season to start. I think it's going to be a memorable one, that's for sure, with the timelines kind of change. It's going to be awesome because starting on the 22nd, well, I guess now if you include preseason, but we're going to have basketball for a long time because it's going to go season, playoffs, then right into Olympics. So right after the NBA season's done, we'll see some good Olympic ball. So I'm excited for it to get going. I think it's going to be an interesting season. Hopefully fans will be allowed in before the end. I think that'd be a really awesome kind of way to end it off. Maybe if they aim for playoffs to have the fans back in, that gives them, 5 or 6 months to get enough vaccines out to do that. So some stories that will probably come out outside of basketball will be something like that, but I think it's going to be an awesome season. And thanks again for having me on. I'm looking forward to checking in as the season goes.
Yeah, we'll definitely have you on. You brought up it'll be definitely quite a few touch points. We'll have you on at the trade deadline, maybe start of the season after the Christmas game. So you'll be a friendly face and voice on this podcast. So thanks again for coming on, and we'll leave it off with a nice little go Nets. Thanks for everyone for listening, and feel free to comment any of your predictions on our post of this podcast, because we want to hear from you. All right. Thanks everyone for listening. Take it easy. Peace.